Summer, the best time of year, usually doesn't come with a great deal. Soaring temperatures come with soaring prices. But what if there's another way? With IKEA, your summer plans can last longer than 2 weeks of vacation and be more affordable. Here, everyone can have lounge chair access, no reservations needed. From affordable outdoor furniture to stylish accessories, we have all the essentials you need to soak up summer in style, no matter the size of your space. Start planning a better summer with IKEA. It's your outdoor dreams inside your budget.
Listener supported, WNYC Studios.
From WNYC Studios, I'm Brian Lehrer. This is my Daily Politics Podcast. It's Friday, March 22nd. Tuesday of this week was a landmark day in the history of the accessibility of birth control, at least in New York State. Governor Hochul signed a bill into law that allows over-the-counter sales of three types of birth control, the pill, the patch, and the ring, and she said this.
It's a new day. You now have access, easy access, to the contraception that you choose to fit your own personal health care needs, because it is your body and it is your choice.
But as it happens, this landmark moment of progress comes amid a growing wave of disinformation about at least some forms of birth control on social media, discouraging women from using them. This is happening on TikTok, which so many girls and young women see, and elsewhere. And behind at least some of it, there is what the Washington Post calls an underlying conservative push. Let's discuss. With Lauren Weber, a Washington Post accountability reporter focused on the forces promoting scientific and medical disinformation. Her new article is called Women Are Getting Off Birth Control Amid Misinformation Explosion. Lauren, thanks for joining us. Welcome to WNYC.
Thanks for having me.
First, to introduce you, that's some job title you've got there, accountability reporter focused on the forces promoting scientific and medical disinformation. So there's enough of that going around that it's worthy of its own beat at the Washington Post now?
Oh, let me tell you, I'm a busy gal these days. I'm sure as you've seen, and I know as you've talked about on the show, we've seen quite a lot of misinformation and disinformation really get accelerated in the social media age. And I think in part, too, with the COVID pandemic, the trust in medical institutions really took a nosedive. So we're seeing a lot more of this these days.
And I see you've been reporting recently on the Florida Surgeon General spreading misinformation amid a measles outbreak. Also, what one of your articles calls the lucrative world of COVID misinformation, just for some context for our listeners. But let's talk about birth control. This is about a category called hormonal contraception. Would you describe that and what kinds of birth control it includes?
Absolutely. So hormonal contraception includes most contraception people are familiar with. It's the birth control pill, which often can include estrogen or progesterone. It includes IUDs, which often have hormones besides the copper IUD. It includes birth control implants and shots. You know, essentially, hormonal contraception is what most of us think about when we think about birth control.
And we should say right off the bat, before we dive into the misinformation campaign, we should acknowledge, as you do in your piece, that there are real side effects that many women experience from those forms of birth control, and for a few, some more serious risks, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's very important to acknowledge that any medication that you take or anything that you take like this can have side effects, which can range anywhere from, you know, inconvenient or annoying side effects like bleeding between periods or nausea or headaches to severe but rare side effects. You know, some forms of birth control can increase the risk of stroke, and some IUDs can perforate the uterine wall. I mean, these are actual side effects that do happen, but they are rare.
Now, you report that doctors are seeing an explosion of birth control misinformation, that their patients are increasingly coming to them believing. What are some prime examples?
So, Brian, you know, what you and I don't see, because we're not, you know, 15 to 25-year-olds on TikTok, is that, you know, what happens is a lot of these folks get shown videos of women saying birth control caused their depression, birth control caused them to gain a bunch of weight, you know, conservative influencers saying birth control can cause infertility, all of which is misinformation. And what will happen is once you see that on your TikTok or on your Instagram, the algorithm will note that you engaged with it. So it'll show you more of it. And so you end up in this kind of endless stream of videos that repeat over and over and over again that can really skew your understanding of the risks and the contextual science behind stuff like birth control.
And so these women, 15 to 25, are seeing these things, believing them increasingly, coming to their doctors, saying they're getting off birth control or not going on it for those reasons. And so you report the doctors are seeing more abortion requests as a result. Make that connection?
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, one of the physicians, well, we spoke to many physicians, but one that we feature in the piece, Michael Belmonte, said that over the last few years, with this kind of explosion of misinfo on social media, he's seen a wave of patients coming to him seeking abortions because they got off of birth control, you know, because they were pitched this idea by influencers that they should be on more natural birth control or that they shouldn't be on birth control because it would cause all these things. But these influencers failed to reveal that natural family planning can have an up to 23% failure rate. So he'll see these women come through that didn't realize they could get pregnant by being off of this or had been told by a friend that this was the better way for them. And there's a lot of concern among many of the physicians that my colleague Sabrina Molly and I talked to for this piece that this is only going to continue to get worse and that they're really seeing the tip of the iceberg of folks in kind of this generation that are being bombarded by some of this messaging.
Those who push the idea that being anti-fertility is being anti-woman and then discouraging people from using birth control and then banning them from getting abortions if they want abortions when they get pregnant, sometimes to their surprise, it's like this organized, multi-layered social conservative push to get women more full-time back in the home.
It's quite a multi-layered push. And I got to be honest, it preys upon what is a very complicated, complex issue. I mean, at the end of the day, women's health is underfunded and under-researched. And, you know, a lot of women feel like their physicians don't listen to them about side effects or about their concerns, or they don't trust their physician. And so they turn to social media platforms. You know, they're looking for more folks who can understand what they're going through or what they're seeing. And they're finding, you know, these conservative commentators, or you're also finding influencers with skin in the game who are pushing, you know, supplement regimes or hormonal balancing programs that, you know, are not based in scientific evidence, but that they may make money off of.
One thing that you covered and wrote about, and I went and watched the video of this Ben Shapiro show, Ben Shapiro, the conservative host, the assertion that women on hormonal birth control start to prefer men who are not traditionally male. What does not traditionally male even mean?
You know, that's a great question. We'd have to ask, I believe it's his guest on a show that said that, but what, you know, the study that is based on, which you will see a lot of conservative commentators point to, is a pretty small study. And so when we talk to other researchers about it, they said, you know, more research would need to be done to really to say that concretely. And this gets at, you know, some of the problems with short form content like TikTok and so on is a lot of influencers aren't saying, well, there was this study and giving all the caveats. They're saying, oh, this is a definitive fact. And it becomes a lot harder to debunk or to speak about these concepts in all of the contexts and all the information you need around them when it's only in a 10-second TikTok clip.
And just as a side note, conservatives see this as a bad thing. That is, maybe not traditional male comes with less patriarchal tendencies and things like that.
I mean, I can't speak for Ben Shapiro, but yes, I believe that, you know, I think that was some of what he was getting at on that show. But I think what's interesting and what they all say when asked or, you know, like, look, we're looking out for women's health, you know, and I spoke to the folks behind Evie Magazine, which is described as the right wing version of Cosmo. And they published a lot of articles that are very anti-birth control, but they argue they're looking out for women's health. But that is the kind of social media that some women are now seeing.
You report on a disparate impact and extra vulnerability of women of color. How so?
Well, I think, unfortunately, Brian, what a lot of people have forgotten is that government programs resulted in forced sterilizations of women of color as early as, you know, not that long ago, decades ago here in the United States. And so we have a learned history. Women have a learned history, women of color in particular, of mistrust for the government and mistrust around birth control due to these forced sterilizations.
Is there a kind of crunchy to right-wing pipeline here? Like progressive people who suspect big pharma in general and for many good reasons and prefer natural methods of things for very good reasons, somehow intersecting with a right-wing agenda to get women back into the home in a more full-time way?
I think I see a lot of parallels between this and the anti-vaccine movement, which frankly, you know, attracts a lot of the similar overlap. You know, I call it the horseshoe of, you know, you've got far left and far right folks kind of uniting on this issue of birth control. And I would argue also anti-vaccine things as well. So I do think you are seeing some overlap between those communities, but it is important to think about, you know, like I mentioned previously, that some of these influencers have skin in the game and some of these conservative commentators also have political influence in the game.
Adina in Brooklyn. Adina, you're on WNYC. Thank you for calling in.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. You know, the hypocrisy of the politics and the religiosity around this issue is maddening, and I want to acknowledge the ugly history of, you know, birth control in the U.S. and absolutely validate the experiences of people like Ryan and women who have serious side effects. But all that said, I am a nurse midwife who works in sexual and reproductive health, and I do want to get the message out that there are a lot of benefits of birth control, both physiologic and psychological. You know, other than being the most effective method to prevent pregnancy, the hormonal methods of birth control, you know, we use them to treat debilitating menstrual symptoms, mood or, you know, heavy bleeding, or some folks have menstrual migraines that are debilitating. It's even protective against some forms of reproductive system cancers, endometrial and ovarian cancer. So again, I just acknowledging the full range of experience and also just, you know, everybody's freedom to make a choice about what they want to use to prevent pregnancy. There are some real health benefits of hormonal birth control that I feel like don't get enough play.
Adina, thank you very much. And Lauren, there are things in your article along these lines that cite, for example, some real risks of hormonal birth control, but that the risks of those same things from pregnancy and childbirth are much worse.
Yes, that's right. I mean, your stroke risk from birth control is similar, or actually a little bit less than if you were to become pregnant. So it is kind of an interesting interplay there. But I think as your last caller just pointed out, this is a very nuanced topic. And I think, as I said earlier on the show, you know, there needs to be more funding for women's health. There needs to be more research done on birth control. A lot of the studies that are cited, some of the physicians I talked to said, we want more. Like, we want more research. We want more understanding of some of the interplay of these things. And that's in part why President Joe Biden signed an executive order just recently on March 18th to invest more money in women's research so that there can be more answers to some of the questions that some of your callers have about this. But at the end of the day, kind of in this gray area and in this politicized area around birth control, a lot of this misinformation is starting to spread.
Yeah. And during Ryan's call, the first caller, somebody texted us, I had the opposite experience. I stopped having bouts of depression after starting on birth control pills. Another listener writes, thank you for covering this incredibly important topic. It is very significant to consider the lack of accurate sexuality education that many states provide, mandated by policies and laws. This is a true effort to have our young people uninformed and limited in their ability to protect themselves and their futures. Another listener writes, the takeaway message here is that there is not nearly enough research on women's health. And I think mm-hmm. you just stated something like that. And that is one of the articles that one of the conclusions that your article comes to, right?
Yes, absolutely. You know, as I noted, you know, women's health research is incredibly underfunded. It's something that is a real problem. You know, some of these more side effects questions. You know, some of the data is not as developed as we would like. And as many of the physicians I talked to said, they want more money to look into these things, to answer more definitively, to help women make the choice of which type of birth control may be best for them. And so, you know, we'll see if more funding for that comes in the future.
And Emily in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Emily.
Hi. So I just wanted to say I was on hormonal birth control for about 18 years. I was born in the late 80s, and I think I was part of a cohort of girls who were encouraged to take hormonal birth control pretty early. I started taking birth control when I was about 15, and I'm now 37, and I'm coming to the conclusion that I was put on it too early. And I'm still figuring out what it's done to my body, which is unfortunate. But what I want to say is that there are a lot of non-hormonal options to choose from. And those, I didn't even know about those until I started looking in my late 30s. And I think that's important to tell young women, especially in this climate of disinformation.
And you told our screener what you're using now. Do you want to say it on the air?
Sure. I use a copper IUD, and it's great. There's no, I mean, I had all of the typical hormonal symptoms, you know, depression, weight gain, paranoia, all sorts of horrible things. And I don't have anything that I can attribute to the copper IUD, and it's been great.
Emily, thank you. Thank you. So when you hear this, and I guess you've been listening probably since the beginning of the segment, knowing what your personal experience has been, but knowing that a lot of women don't have that experience with hormonal birth control, do you find yourself rooting for one side or another here, kind of?
No, it's really kind of difficult to unpack, because while, you know, there should be all these options open to young women, I feel like we should be given a comprehensive list of facts and figures, but, you know, there isn't one, because all of us are different. So I don't have a straight answer. No, I wish I did. I don't think that it's as simple and cut and dry as hormonal birth control bad, non-hormonal options good, you know, some,
but don't
I think
white,
that, you know, they might be.
But don't whitewash the risks either.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I wasn't told about any of them. And when I did tell my doctor, who was very well-meaning, he you know, said at the time, oh, you know, you'll grow out of it. It'll be okay.
Dismissive. So, Emily, thank you for sharing your experience. And some of this, Lauren, I don't know if you get into it in your reporting, does fall on doctors, right, to be thorough in informing their young women patients about risks as well as benefits of hormonal and other kinds of birth control.
Well, Emily, too, I want to point out, you know, and if this gives you any solace, in talking with some of these physicians, they said there's been a shift in the last, you know, 15, 20 years, where more of them have been taught to speak about side effects and what the choices are in the birth control that you're offered. Than historically was the case. You know, historically, physicians really stressed effectiveness, and they kind of brushed aside a lot of women's concerns. And that's what a lot of women, you know, has led to a lot of distrust around their experience with the medical profession. But there is this new effort in the last couple of years to really make sure that this is more of a patient-physician decision, to have these conversations, to make sure there is more informed consent. Now, I can't say that every physician is doing that, but that is now what newer physicians are being taught, if that helps bring you any solace as you think about that.
Does that give you any pause about what we started with at the top of the hour, the new law signed in, the new law signed by New York Governor Kathy Hochul just this week to allow over-the-counter sales of birth control pills, which would mean you wouldn't have to necessarily consult a doctor, the pill, the patch, and the ring, as they say?
I think that when taking any sort of medication, it is smart to speak with a physician if that is available to you. And I think today a lot of women see what they, you know, don't necessarily have in today's fractured healthcare system – access to a physician, or they don't have an OBGYN, or they don't feel comfortable talking to a physician. And I think that is a shame, because the concern is, yes, that you may be on a form of birth control that your body does not react to as well as a different one. You know, many of the physicians I spoke to said that if side effects continue to be a problem, they feel like they need to find the birth control that's right for you. So I would encourage folks, it is always a good idea to speak to your physician if you feel like something is a problem.
The last caller mentioned that she's on the copper IUD. You do refer to the copper IUD in your article, and that there's even disinformation being spread about that to discourage women from using it. Can you talk about that a little bit and the difference between the different kinds of IUDs?
Yes. So the copper IUD does not release any hormones to prevent pregnancy. That's the major difference. But yes, even the copper IUD, you know, Candace Owens, who is a prominent, political commentator on the conservative right, you know, had an entire video where she talked about how viewers had told her they had faced fertility problems on the copper IUD, which physicians we spoke to said there is no evidence that there are long-term fertility effects from using a copper IUD or other forms of birth control. So, you know, we see these, these social media short clips that are sometimes presented as absolute facts by folks that are pushing a political agenda or potentially pushing possible supplements or other birth control replacements that they would argue are effective.
And for now, we thank Lauren Weber, Washington Post accountability reporter focused on the forces promoting scientific and medical disinformation. Her new article is called Women Are Getting Off Birth Control Amid Misinformation Explosion. Thank you so much for sharing it with us.
Thank you so much for having me on. This has been a great conversation.
Brian Lehrer, a Daily Politics podcast, is an excerpt from my live daily radio show, The Brian Lehrer Show, on WNYC Radio, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time, if you want to listen live at WNYC.org. Thanks for listening today. Talk to you next time.